You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. Huge hour coming up. We're going to go back to the Washington Post columnist himself, Barry Sriluga, who was awesome last week on the show. Jared talking all things, not just in the pool, but America. Plenty to talk about from an American point of view, given Simone Biles was back last night. But I think we should get straight into it because it's a massive night coming up.
Well, for both the Boomers, and shortly for the Opals.
Yeah, well, the Opals had to win by, 25 last night to stay in it. They won by 27. They keep their hopes alive. It's been a little bit different for the Boomers, who were at 3-from-3 and looking really impressive. Yep. And with the result going the way it did, with Team USA coming from behind to beat Spain today, Jared, if we can get over Argentina tonight.
Yeah, we've got the dream team.
We've got the dream team. A man who starred so many times for the Boomers. In fact, I think started his Boomers career back in Athens in 04. A man that we all know on this show. By the name of Andrew Bogut joins us to preview the match. Andrew, welcome to you.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, we just want to get the insight from you and the crystal ball prediction from you with what's going to happen tonight and how we face up against Argentina.
Look, we're heavy favourites, obviously, but bookies and everybody else, but Argentina are a well-oiled machine, and they're not going to beat themselves. So some concerns that we've had in the first three games, even though we've won those first three, I think we got a little lucky against Nigeria. We need to clean up the turnovers at our end when we have the ball, and we need to clean up our defensive rebounding. So if we are not great tonight in that, Argentina will punish us. So we need to just clean those up. Argentina won't beat themselves, but you know, if we give them a chance to stay in games, it could be closer than we'd like.
So, Andrew, just on that first one, we've spoken to you and we've spoken to Chris Anstey about this turnover stuff, and it's been a bit of a theme. What is it about us, or what do you think we need to do? What would be the message in order to actually stop these turnovers with the ball? Are we rushing?
Oh, don't throw it to the other team would be good, but look, it's tough. The opening game of the Olympics is always tough because you're feeling each other out. It's kind of a nerve. It's just always a weird feeling that first game until you settle in. So you understand that one, but we just haven't really cleaned it up throughout. We got better in against Italy to an extent, but even against Germany, we had some lulls. So it's just being solid. We have a couple of guys that love getting in the paint. It's making that right decision when you get 2 feet in the key way. And sometimes it's just as simple as kicking out to an open shooter. But those live ball turnovers, which funnily enough, we thrive off. Defensively, we're probably one of the best defensive teams in the Olympics, and our offense thrives off getting stops from a T-style, getting a deflection, and then we're out in transition getting easy baskets. On the flip side, if we do that, then we're giving a team like Argentina that's not really a fast-breaking team probably some easier looks.
Andrew, how are you dealing with retirement? You bled unbelievably many times for the Boomers, and this is your first time as a spectator. How's it sitting?
Oh, it's bittersweet. It's a good question because I've thought about it at length. I go through lulls watching, like, oh, I wish I was there. Oh, actually, no, I don't. I get up off the couch and my back hurts, you know. So it's a tough one. It's mainly, you know, it's so close to me because I played with all these guys and I would have been in this squad. So I think the next Olympics and the one after will be a little bit easier as we go along because you won't have that connection. But that deep connection that I have makes it much harder. But unfortunately, with coronavirus and my body getting older and all that, I made that decision, you know, 18 months ago now. And it's still the right decision in my mind, even though there's days where you think you can go.
Speaking of Aussie basketball, great Andrew Bogut, who's now plying his trade and very, very well, I might add, Jared, as a special comments man for Channel 7 next to the great John Casey, who's calling well. Hey, Andrew, I know it's a bit of a weird question asking if we've missed Ben Simmons, given that we've never really had him. But how
That's
have
not
you...
a weird question. That's exactly what I would have liked to have asked.
How have you seen the team without him as compared to how you would have expected it to see it with him in it?
Well, I think you answered your own question. We don't know what we're missing because we've never had it. So, you know, I've been asked that a fair few times.
Thought it was a weird question, Jared.
Yeah, no, it's a talking point. I get it, but it's kind of hard because we don't know. You know, we don't know what it's like to date the pretty girl until we've dated her, essentially. So it's just one of those things. We'd love to have him, but you know, a priority for him is not the Australian Boomers at this point in his career.
Do you think it will be at any stage, or is he? Do you think he's drawn his line in the sand?
I don't think he's drawn his line in the sand. The problem is there's just layers of people you have to go through to even get to Ben. And I don't know if that's by design by him or if it's his family or if it's the consultants he has. And you got to literally jump five layers to get an answer sometimes, and that's hard. That's very, very hard to deal with as a national team. We'd love to have him play. He's got bigger problems. I think he's out of Philadelphia. From what I hear, he's gone. He's, no matter what happens, he's going to be on a different team next season. Hasn't been in touch with the organization since the day the season ended. So he's got bigger fish to fry at the moment. But yeah, look, we'd love to have him. Of course, one of the best. If not, he's going to go down as the greatest Australian NBA player ever when he retires, and we'd love to have him in a Boomer jersey.
What did you make of Spain-USA today?
Yeah, game of two halves. I feel like Spain shot themselves in the foot in the first quarter. They played a really good, even first half, sorry. They played a really good 16 minutes, and in the last 4 minutes, they took their foot off the gas and made a few silly errors, and USA, you know, they cut that lead down to a tied game at halftime. That's where they lost it, I think. And then they just couldn't reel after that. And it seems like US in that second half, both the last two games, Czech Republic and Spain, have found something ball movement-wise. They're starting to figure it out on the run. And at the end of the day, you have Kevin Durant. You can have a shocking offensive possession. You throw it to Kevin Durant, and he's going to get you a good shot no matter what. So a great luxury to have. They're going to be tough to beat regardless. I feel like they're starting to surge a little bit and get better and better as the games go on.
And the Opals, where do you see them at the moment at this part of the campaign?
Being honest, they're up against it. Yeah. They've got, you know, a small percentage chance to get through, in my opinion. I want the girls to get through, obviously. I'm not saying I'm not a supporter. So for everyone listening, don't jump all over me. But a tough task to beat that USA team. They haven't lost since, 20, 30 years in yeah. Olympic Games. Mm. Just an unbelievable stat, I think. Mentioned it on the podcast, actually, had Luke Longley on a couple of days ago. I think it's 50 or 60 straight wins. It's something crazy like that. And for the Opals to do that without Liz Cambidge is going to be tough. You know, she's obviously one of the best players in the world, and they don't have her in that lineup to kind of mitigate some of that superstardom. And that's just the reality they're dealing with. But look, I hope you know, we watched that game and get a surprise, but I just, you know, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think controversy aside, Jared, you and I have spoken a number of times that Liz Cambidge not being on the court has just really, really hurt them purely as a basketball team.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue any other way.
Gone under the radar a little bit. Andrew, really looking forward to your call tonight. I think we start at, 10 o'clock Australian time. So can't wait for you and JC to bring us the latest on court, and let's hope we're in a semi-final.
Yeah, I need a few more coffees. It's a late call for me, so I'm not used to this. So it's a rookie night for me. I have two or three more espressos on the way there and should be right.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Bogut there, Australian basketball royalty, of course. Although the last time we spoke to Elliot, he was on an RDO.
Yes, he was.
And an RDO down, during the Olympics.
And he'd been down Media Street.
Can you imagine that, an RDO during the Olympics? Imagine Jared Ewart at the Sydney Olympics. Sorry, I can't cover the beach volleyball gold medal match. Actually, an RDO, I'm going to go have a swim.
What a joke.
Let's hope we beat Argentina. Jared, you can start and watch it?
Yeah, I'll
did you start and watch the Opals last night, get over the line?
I did not.
They were pretty good late. They needed to be
11 o'clock.
What about the Matildas being robbed?
Yeah,
that disallowed goal from Sam Kerr. It was a great finish late in the first half. Jared, I've watched that replay 20 times, and I can't see the foul on the build-up. It's the weirdest call I've seen in soccer.
So there's been a foul called on the foul call.
Foul call on foul call. Originally, I thought they called offside.
Yeah,
and then the referee said, "No, I called a block."
Yep.
I've zoomed in.
Why didn't the arc?
I've asked for the behind the goals vision.
Why didn't the arc come through?
Yeah, so that for me was the weirdest thing. The VAR.
Yep.
I think the referee would argue that she called it before the free kick was taken. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We lost and we're out, and that's not good. Hey, what is good is the Furphy unbelievable moment. I think it can only go to one person the last week and a half, and that's Emma McKeon. She won an incredible 7 medals. She might go down as one of our greatest ever Olympian.
Might?
Well, sorry. She probably will go down as our greatest ever Olympic swimmer, and she might go down as one of our greatest ever Olympians ever.
Well, she's not might. She is. She's
got 7 medals.
She's got a hell of a medal package.
I know, but I've got a bit of time.
Yeah.
I've got another
give me the
30
or
40
Olympics. Give me your greatest Olympian right now.
Thorn Fraser?
No.
Torpedo?
It's an equestrian. Some would argue, Scoop, it's an equestrian called Andrew Hoy, who at 62 years of age has picked up another 2 medals, a silver and a bronze. I think for a tally of 8, I might be wrong, but around 8. Mm-hmm. And he is talking about going to Gay Paris as a 66-year-old.
He's older than you.
Indeed.
Why aren't you out there winning medals for us?
Well,
you could be winning medals in the sailing.
In the sailing, no.
You could be.
No, I couldn't be doing the sailing. Trying to work out what I could be doing it in.
Beach volleyball?
No, the legs are gone. The Achilles is gone.
Some sort of swimming event. What's that? Surfing. Yeah. Of course, surfing.
Oh, jeez.
What am I doing? Jeez.
At least I would have a crack.
Oh, we're getting a bit loose here on this Wednesday. Let's take a break. More sports after this.